thankful for the prayer and for your presence, and ask for your continued prayers as I stand before you. I'd like to read to you this morning from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I certainly encourage you to do that. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, writings of the Apostle Paul in the church at Corinth. This is the second letter that is written unto the church at Corinth. And the fourth chapter is talking to God's children, as all of the Bible is, about the ministry and the importance of the ministry and the purpose of the ministry and the blessings of the gospel and what the gospel is, how meaningful the gospel is to God's children, how important it is for us to see it and understand it here in this old dark world. In the beginning of the first verse of chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal bodies, in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." That's all 18 verses of the fourth chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians. He says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we faint not." That's such a wonderful statement by the Apostle Paul to allow us to know where our strength truly comes from. That's true for all of us as God's children. It's certainly true for the ministry, but it's true really for every one of us. In this old world, if it weren't for the mercy of Almighty God, we'd all be fainting today. We would not have the ability to make it. If we're not for God's grace and mercy that was shown unto us, we would be getting exactly what we deserve, and actually that would be the very wrath of God poured out upon us. And all the troubles and trials and problems we have in this world, we'd have absolutely no help whatsoever. God helps us not because we merited it or earned it or deserved it, but because of His mercy that has been shown to us. And that work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the at Calvary came came to us and was done for us, not because we would deserve it, but in spite of all that we did deserve, He gave His very life. And because He gave His life, you and I have access. We have the ability to talk to the Father, and the Father hears us. And when we call upon Him and ask Him for help, and not only help when we're sick, though that means a great deal, but help for everything in our life. We need the Lord in everything we do. We need Him every day we live. I need the Lord to be what I'm supposed to be in this world. And if I am able to be what I am supposed to be in this world, that is pleasing unto God, it'll be because I've received mercy. And that's a fundamental thing that if we really understand the truth today, we'll see that. And it's something that many in the religious world have lost sight of. If we ever get to where we feel like we no longer need His mercy, then we've gotten too high-minded. We've gotten where we think we deserve or have brought God into a place He's obligated to help us. If we pray like God has to help us, well, we've forgotten that we're in need of His mercy. We've forgotten the Lord is my shepherd. We've forgotten our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We've forgotten that the help that we have in this world hasn't become because we deserve it. Sometimes we feel like we're getting things happening to us because we've been such bad boys or such bad girls. Saying, why is this happening to me? Why am I going through this? And we feel like, well, I'm going through this hard time. I must have really have done something wrong. But the fact of the matter is, we all have done something wrong. If we're going through difficult times, it's no wonder that we have difficult times. What's a wonder is that God has been merciful to us, that in those difficult times, He has supplied unto us what we need. This verse says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we have a ministry. And I believe this is talking in particular to the gospel minister who has the calling and the responsibility to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Lord's people. We've been given a ministry. If a minister is a minister, he's been given a calling by God to preach. And he's been given a ministry. He's been given a purpose. He's been given a message to preach. He's been given those of his God's little children to preach too. He's been given the responsibility to feed the lambs and to feed the sheep and to help God's little children in this old dark world to have a light in the gospel. And that is the purpose of the ministry and the preaching of the gospel, is to enlighten God's little children. Now, some people believe the gospel is here to make God's little children, but we know that the Lord doesn't need the gospel to make His children. He does that all on His own. He by His power and through the movement of the Holy Spirit quickens those who are dead and brings them to life. And He doesn't need a gospel preacher to do that, or He doesn't need the gospel to do that. That's not the purpose of the gospel. The purpose of the gospel is to enlighten those that have been made alive. And there's a ministry that's given to the gospel minister to teach and to preach to those who've been made alive and tell them about the life that they have and how it is they're to live that life in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. And it's all about what Jesus has done for His people. We realize that we can't do that unless we receive mercy. If I don't get His mercy this morning, I won't be able to preach. And every other preacher who's standing in the pulpit today around this country, if they are going to truly preach the gospel, they're going to have the mercy of God supplied unto them. And those that said unto their voice will have to have the mercy of God supplied unto them so that they might be able to hear the words of this ministry. And this ministry is the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember a long time ago coming to the stand in one place, and Brother Mintz, I said, I'm just empty, Brother Mintz. I don't know what to say. And Brother Mintz said, well, just go brag on Jesus. And actually, that is what the ministry is. We're here today not to brag on Mama, not to brag on Daddy, not to brag on the church, not to brag on us, or to brag on you. We're here to brag on Jesus. We're here to praise Jesus. We're to talk about Jesus. We want to hear about how powerful He is, how all-knowing He is, how wonderful He is, what a Savior we have, how full of love He is, how full of mercy and grace He is, and how that He has the ability and the power to save everyone that the Father gave Him in covenant even before the foundation of the world. And that Jesus is called Savior because He truly is the Savior. And that's what the ministry is. I'm here to tell you what I told you last week. And if you come back next week, I hope I'll tell you the same thing I told you this week. And I hope all of that is summed up in bragging on Jesus and telling you about what a Savior you have and now how He's our Savior for heaven. And I'm so thankful He's my Savior for heaven. But He's also been the one who's brought us to this time. He has been watching over you from the time you were formed and fashioned in your mother's womb. He knew you in covenant before the foundation of the world. And then His eye and His hand has been upon your life. Even when you didn't have a mind or a thought about Him, He has always been there watching over you as His child. And in the work of the Holy Spirit, He quickened you and made you alive. And Christ came in your heart. He came and worked in you that which you could not do for yourself and gave you life. And now He has allowed you by His grace to understand a little bit about that so that when you're in trouble right now, listen, you and I in this old world, we have got a world full of trouble. I'm not here today to tell you I have a way for you to get out of that trouble. As a matter of fact, from the Word, I'm going to tell you if you're going to live godly today in Christ Jesus, the Bible says you will suffer persecution. He said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And He talks to us and teaches us from the ministry and the truth that we, in Him, we can have peace. And oh my, have we not found peace in Him? When we're walking with Him, prisons with palaces prove when Jesus is with us in those hard and difficult times. And when we can't see Him, it doesn't matter how good things are. It doesn't matter how much money we have. It doesn't matter which place we're living. We could have all the world, in a sense, and think we got it all. And I'm telling you, if you can't have fellowship with Him as a little child of God, you're in a cold, dark, barren place. And the good news is that if you have fellowship with Him, it isn't based on what you've done. It's based on what He's done for you. And salvation is by the grace of Almighty God. He says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now, I love the part. I'm doing a whole lot of fainting in this world. How about you? There are a lot of times you feel like you're fainting. The Bible teaches us that man ought to pray always and not to faint. Which sounds like to me, if I'm praying, I'm not going to be fainting. But when I'm not praying, I'm going to be fainting. So how important is our prayer life, our communication with the Lord? Well, if you're not praying, you're fainting. And when we pray, we faint not. But when we don't pray, we faint. And so that's where we are. So the importance is, let's stay in communication with the Lord. And that is a pray without ceasing. Pray looking to the Lord. Some would say, well, how can I do that? Does that mean staying on my knees and bad? Does that mean I have to be in a position of prayer? No, prayer is that coming from the heart, that awareness that the Lord is with me, that He's with me in my car, and He's with me in my house, and my home, and in my family, and that He's an ever-present individual that is in my life, that when I feel like I'm away from everybody, I'm never alone. I'm never alone. He's always right there. See, if He is in your heart, He's taken up His abode in your heart, He is always there. He is always there. And as a matter of fact, we know in His omnipresence, He's everywhere present. He's nowhere absent. You'll never go someplace He's not, and you'll never leave a place He's not still there. He's everywhere present and nowhere absent. But He in particular dwells in the heart of the Lord's people, and that's part of the ministry, to tell you about, I'm bragging on Jesus. I'm telling you about one who is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He says, as we have received mercy, we faint not. He says, but have renounced, that is the ministry, has renounced. And when you renounce something, that means I refuse to follow it. I'm not going that way. I make a conscious choice by the grace of God that I'm not going to use that. I may know that technique well. Preachers are not to be used car salesmen. I don't mean to be sitting here today talking about a used car salesman. If that hits somebody, I'm sorry. But you know the analogy of the world, the idea of the world, a used car salesman, you just got to watch. Because you know it's the best thing since sliced bread. This is a wonderful vehicle. I remember old Andy Griffith show where Don Knotts bought that old car from that little old woman, and it was supposedly the best car in the world. She was a con and sold him that car, and the car's steering wheel came off and the thing fell to pieces and all that kind of stuff. And there was Barney's eyes getting real big and all of that. And I'm telling you, men in this world, I'm talking about so-called religious men are using craftiness of speech and using the ideas and the thoughts, the techniques that have been worked on and polished by this world in order to cause God's little children to fall into doctrinal error and to untruths. And the ministry of the Lord's God's ministers are to never ever try to listen. Our Lord doesn't need propping up. He doesn't need to be. I can't brag on this. I can't listen. A car, I might be able to tell you it's the best thing in the world and be telling all kinds of untruths. But when I'm talking about Jesus, I can't make him brighter than he is. I can't make him more powerful than he is. I can't make him more loving than he is. I could tell you about a lot of things. You know, I could talk about my family and really build them up and soon get way beyond what they are. But when I'm talking about Jesus, I'll never get to the place where I've really described him in his greatness the way that I ought to. And what does that mean? That means you don't need to brag and you don't need to build. The gospel doesn't need propping up. I'm not getting it out just right, but I hope you're following. I don't need craftiness. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul said he preached in a way, in a manner that he did not use the enticing words of men's wisdom. He didn't want someone following him because he had a slick tongue or because he had it all laid out so educationally sound that it's so proper and so every. He was not worried about it. Matter of fact, when he preached, he said he desired that it would not be in the letter, which would be death. But in the spirit that you might stand not in the your wit, that you would not be trusting in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. And he said, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now, what that is saying is that the minister should be standing and preaching the truth, and he should not be preaching it in part in order for it to be received or accepted, but he's to preach the truth. He's to preach whether they smile or whether they throw rocks at him. He's to preach whether the congregation gets happy about it or whether they all get mad at him. He is to preach the truth and be committed to the truth as the Lord allows him to see it, that he preaches it and that he teaches it. And he says, where the Bible stands, he stands. And where the Bible's silent, he's silent. And he doesn't add to it and he doesn't take from it. And he's to be committed to that. And even in his best efforts to do that, he'll miss the mark. But that ought to be his commitment. And brethren, when a man is committed that way, he's worthy of trusting in him as far as what he's saying. Now get this. Don't trust in him as a man. But as he follows the truth, you can follow those teachings that come from God's word. Now, somebody said, well, how do I know when it's the truth? That means you've got to do some study. That doesn't mean you don't just come into the church and open your Bibles or not bring one or whatever and just say, well, the preacher said that, so it must be so. No, you're to take this Bible when the preacher preaches it. You're to follow along, and whether you follow along physically now or whether you read it later, at some point you go back and you search the things that have been taught and you say, are these things so? And when you pray to God, is this the truth? And as that one, you see he's preaching the truth. Sometimes it'll make you a little upset. Sometimes he'll step on your toes. Have you ever been to church and they step on your toes a little bit? Sometimes people say, well, I don't want to go back there. He stepped on my toes. Well, maybe your toes, like one brother said, get them out the aisle or you won't get stepped on so much. One brother said, one brother I remember saying said, well, yeah, let the chips fly away. And he said, well, I'm getting hit by the chips. He said, well, maybe you ought to move. That's You know, there's some instruction. Listen, we as Old Baptists sometimes, we believe in salvation by grace. And I never want to depart from that fundamental idea and thought that there's nothing that can change eternal heaven for one of God's children. No obedience or disobedience can cause you to gain your heavenly home or lose it. But I'm telling you, there are joys and blessings that you and I have missed in this world because we have been disobedient to the things of God from time to time in our life. And there have been manifold blessings that we've been allowed to enjoy in this world because we have simply trusted and obeyed what the Lord's taught us. There are blessings in obedience, and there's chastisement for the Lord's people in disobedience. If you don't believe that, just read about the children of Israel as they travel through the wilderness to the promised land. It was a long time in that wilderness. A long time. Because they refused and disobeyed. Didn't even like the food the Lord gave them. So he gave them some they thought they wanted, just to show them they didn't need it. After you've waded through quail meat for that long, I guarantee you didn't want no more quail. So just give me a little. I was glad to get back to that angel's food, that manna. Brethren, what I'm saying to you, I need the gospel. I need the truth. I need what's in this Bible. I need to be fed on what's in this Bible. Listen, preachers need it just as well as anybody else. The minute we get to be preaching and think we don't need it anymore, that all I have to do is give it and don't have to get it, then I cease to grow as a little child of grace. When we feel like, well, I've been in the Old Baptist Church long enough now, I really don't need to come because I've heard everything they've ever said, and I don't need to. Listen, if you've gotten that way, I'm telling you, the old God of this world can blind even the eyes of God's little children, where they get not able to feed on the gospel like they did at one time. And the gospel is such a valuable blessing, a treasure. The Bible says it's a treasure. That is the understanding of what Jesus has truly done for you. And I mean really understanding it. Listen, a lot of God's children see in part what he's done for them, and they're happy in the part they see. But we have been blessed to understand that if it hadn't been for Jesus and his death on the cross, there'd be no hope of heaven for me. And when I die, I'm not trusting in what I've done for the Lord to get me to glory. Somebody said, well, I hope he got himself ready before he died. Listen, if the Lord doesn't get me ready, I'll never be ready. And I want to preach that whether someone accepts it or doesn't. Oh, I want you to accept it. But if you don't, well, I'll just duck your rocks. There's no other truth. There's nothing else to preach. There's nothing else to teach. You could fill this church up. All you'd have to do is change a little bit of the gospel. All you have to do is just add a little bit or take away a little bit. Just get off that depravity of man. That'd help you a lot. You could fill this side up just getting off that. You know, don't talk about how rotten people are all the time. You're talking about how bad everybody is. Talking about how family, how bad they are. You know, you always own everybody. You know, man ain't that bad. Listen, man's rotten to the core. It's not a good thing. Not one good redeeming characteristic in man by his nature. Not one. Not one. Paul didn't say, in me that is in my flesh dwells a bunch of bad stuff. No, he said, in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Which means in my flesh, that is in me, in my flesh, there is not one redeeming characteristic in me. The only hope you and I have is the mercy of God and the grace of God. And then get this, when the Lord has worked that in a person, you have been made a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things have been made new. That old dead man that's no good, that is no count, that has been washed and removed from you. Your sins have been forgiven, and now he's made you fit. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people. And that doesn't mean like sometimes we old Baptists talk about it, peculiar in the sense, well, they just peculiar, you know. And we usually use that as an excuse for our stubbornness. That ain't the kind of peculiar old Baptist supposed to be. We're supposed to be a purchased peculiar, a purchased people. Different. Loving. That's peculiar. Forgiving. That's peculiar. Weeping. Happy when you see God's children doing well, and sad and brokenhearted when you see them in trouble. Happy when you see a little brother who comes pleading, I'm a sinner lost and undone, and you're able to tell them about a Savior who died for sinners who were lost and undone. Happy when you see one get happy about dying and leaving this world. Listen, I've seen some of God's children happy to leave this world because they had a hope beyond this world. They were going to go home to a far, far better place and be with the Lord. And they just were anticipating getting there. I've seen some of them happy when they got healed, but I've seen some of them got healed better than getting healed here. They got healed and went home to glory. They are healed. It would just happen over there instead of down here. And I'm saying to you, dear ones, in our life and in this world, there is a Savior who is with us today, who is our friend, who is our elder brother, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he said, we can say with David, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I can fear no evil, for thou art with me. And thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's a real comfort. That's a real Savior. It's a real person in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you see Him, you see the Father, you see the Son, you see the Holy Spirit. And then your darkest moment, you'll see places where His brightness is shining through. And there are other times when you're in the brightness, you can't see a thing because your eyes are... If our eyes are on Him, we can see all those good things. If our eyes are off of Him, we can't see anything. We're blind. See, I can't give you life today, but if the Lord will bless me, we can shine a light. That's what the gospel is. Just turn the lights on. You know, when you're in the dark, it helps to have the lights on, don't you? You hear something go bump in the night, don't you want to turn the lights on to find out what it is? I'm telling you what the gospel does, it just turns a light on in your life. When you feel like you're all alone, you get to see I'm not alone. He's with me. My Savior is with me. The one who parted the waters and allowed the children to go across the Red Sea and through dry shod is with me. The one who shut the mouths of the lions as Daniel was in that den of lions and that hungry. And not only in a den, but a lions in that, there were lions in that den. It wasn't just an empty den. And they were hungry lions. They ate a lot of people soon. Somebody said they just didn't have an appetite. Old Brother Holly Redmond used to say the Lord gave him lockjaw. Yeah, I remember those dear old saints, those dear brethren. My brother Andy Hilton talking about John the Baptist having bad breath because he come out of the wilderness eating honey and locusts. I said, Brother Andy, how do you know he had bad breath? He said, well, eat some honey and locusts, you'll see. I don't know about all that. I just know their preaching the gospel has meant a lot to me. It's shined a light in my life. And Jesus blessed them to preach. Because see, if they hadn't received mercy, they couldn't preach. Jesus blessed them to preach and to bless me to hear. And His mercy was there. And it wasn't used car salesman talk they were giving me. It was the truth of God's word. They preached this book. And they didn't do it in the wisdom of this world. They trusted in the Lord. The Lord led them and the Lord guided them and the Lord opened their mouth, and they didn't preach every time they stood because the Lord didn't bless them every time they stood. But when the Lord blessed them, boy, they did some preaching. And when the Lord didn't bless them, well, they couldn't preach because you can't preach without the Lord. You can give talks without the Lord. You can teach Sunday school lessons without the Lord. You can do a lot of things without the Lord. And I don't mean that ugly. I'm saying intellectually, you have to have the Lord to some capacity. But I'm saying preaching is something that is done by the power of Almighty God. It's a movement of God. It's a manifestation of His Spirit. It's not just an intellectual activity. Every time I even go about trying to explain that, I feel like I've done it no service. Because I'm telling you, it's a movement that happens in your heart. And when you feel it in the stand where there's liberty, you feel His presence when there's preaching. And you feel it in the congregation too. It not only touches the head, it touches the heart, which does feed. You learn and you grow, but it feeds the heart. It's not just something that's an intellectual activity. He says we renounce the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully. That means taking the parts of it and just twisting it. You know, we hear that all the time. People using verses all the time to support this and to support that. And they take a verse and, oh, Baptist, we can do that too. Listen, Brother Gary could do that. We could do that. And have maybe, and I'm sure I have, even in my best efforts not to, there may be times I say, well, that verse there looks like that ought to fit right here, so we'll just kind of force fit it in, and that dude sounds like a real good proof text. I'll tell you, sometimes I've ended up doing that in a discussion, especially when brethren, you ever see brethren just discussing the scripture, and the next thing you know, a discussion turns into a full-out fuss. It started out as a discussion, but it just comes down to a dead-on argument. Next thing you know, I've grabbed a verse and used it as a proof text, and I don't even believe the way I applied it. And you know what that is? That's just flesh and pride and flesh and the old human wanting. See, it really is about, and when we're right where we ought to be in the Spirit, it's not about me being right or another brother being right, but what does the Word say? And when we get on the Word, well, we're humbled by it. Knowledge puffeth up. When you get this truth, it's a wisdom that keeps you humble, and you realize the Lord has given us that. And then you're thankful to the Lord. And if we're not going to follow the Word, we're not worthy of trust. But if we follow His Word, we commend ourselves to the every man's conscience in the sight of God. He says in verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. The gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now we know there are those that are dead that cannot see the gospel. They cannot see it because they're dead. They cannot hear it because they're dead. They don't have eyes. They don't have ears. They don't have a heart to understand the things of God. They are dead. They're dead in trespasses and in sins. And that's where we would be were it not for the life-giving power of Almighty God quickening us and making us alive. We can't say, well, I did this to get alive, because we didn't. We were acted upon. You hath He quickened who were dead. But when He's made you alive, then you have eyes that can see, you have ears that can hear, and you have a heart that can understand. He has quickened you and made you alive. There are some that can't see because they're dead. There are others that are alive, but they're blinded. And you can become blinded. The world can blind you to the truth. The old devil can blind you to the truth. You can have someone misteach you and become blinded to the truth. You can get caught up in your own self and be blinded to the truth. And listen, we're not talking about those who aren't God's children. There are those that are dead that are not, at least have not been born of the Spirit of God, or maybe they're not His children at all. We know there are some that will never be born of the Spirit. We know that. But if they're in an unregenerate state, they are dead and cannot hear. But there are many of God's children here in this world that are spiritually alive, but they're blind to the truth. They cannot see the truth. And the reason, He says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And they're lost. Now, somebody said, is everyone that's lost a goat? I don't believe that, do you? I believe there's some sheep that are lost. Matter of fact, if I didn't believe that, why would I preach? I'm surely not going, I don't want to go save, I can't save a goat. I mean, I can't, and this is spiritually speaking, you can't by preaching make a goat a sheep. And you'll never make, by giving sheep food, you'll never feed a goat. You'll just make a goat sick. But the minister is to feed my... He didn't say go feed goats. He didn't say make... He said feed my lambs and feed my sheep. If you love me, Peter, feed my lambs and feed my sheep. Now, there are some of the sheep that are lost. They're lost in the sense that they don't know the truth. They have been wrapped up in doctrinal error. They've gotten wrapped up in the love of this world. They've been blinded at times by Satan. And couldn't we all say that sometimes we, even old Baptists, come into the services and feel like, you know, we've become blind. Have you ever gotten blinded? Been blind all week long sometimes. Sometimes we just get we see for a while during the day and then we get blinded. You know, one minute I'm trusting and leaning and happy, and the next minute I'm all upset, falling apart. You been there? One man, what's the difference? Well, one, I'm looking at him and I can see, and the other one, I've become blinded. Now listen, he said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now get this, verse 4. In whom the God of this world, now that is not talking about the God of heaven. This is the God, the little G-O-D of this world. That's talking about the Jesus when he saw the devil and he confronted him and the devil came and tempted him. He called him the prince of this world. And this is the same language that he uses here as the God of this world. That is our adversary, the devil. He hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now there are times you and I believe, surely, but there are sometimes we walk in unbelief. Remember in the scripture where he says for us to looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. There is a sin which doth so easily beset God's little children, and that is the sin of unbelief. Where we can, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. When I stop trusting. Listen, right at this moment, I feel like I'm just trusting, leaning on Him, dependent upon Him. When I think about the upcoming surgeries and everything, I say, well, oh, the Lord, I'm going to be with me and I'm going to be just fine. And then the next minute, somebody will say one little thing and all of a sudden I'm slipped right back over. Yeah, what a boy, staph infection. I just wonder. What I want to say to you is I don't have any absolute guarantee that my surgery or anybody else's surgery or any sickness or anything we confront, I have no guarantee on how any of it's going to turn out. I don't have a clue. I have nothing but uncertainty about that. In me. No guarantee. But I do have a guarantee in God's Word that I can trust Him. And whatever comes, it's going to be all right. I do have that. And see, that's what he's talking about here. I don't want to get blinded in unbelief. I don't want to be blinded by the God of this world. He said, blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. That's what I've loved about old Baptist preaching from the very first time I sat under it. They preached not about themselves. They talked about the Lord. And every time they talked about themselves, well, I'll tell you, you'd almost not want to listen to them by the time they get in the stand and tell you how rotten and no good they are. You go like, well, why is that man even up in the pulpit? Until they started preaching in the power of the Lord, and then you said, oh my, that had to come from the Lord. He says, we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord and ourselves. What is a minister of the gospel? A minister of the gospel is a servant of the Lord. Ourselves, your servants for Jesus' sake. Now listen, that's what a minister is. He's not your boss. He's not in charge. He's a servant. He's a servant to the church. He's a servant to God's people. And he's servant above anything else. He's a servant to the Lord. And as a servant to the Lord, he's to preach the truth the Lord gives unto him. And as he does that, he's a servant to the Lord's people. He said, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And oh, we could just spend, we don't have any time, but we could just spend what you see in Jesus. You see, if you see Jesus, you see the Father. If you see Jesus, you see the Son. If you see Jesus, no man can come to the Father but through Jesus. No man can see Jesus without the Father. No man can see and understand the Spirit without understanding and seeing Jesus. When you preach Jesus, you preach God the Father. When you preach Jesus, you preach the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. When you see Jesus, you see God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Isaiah called Him the Everlasting Father. We see when Jesus said, if I go away, I'll send the Comforter to you. And when the Comforter's come, I will be with you. You know what that sounds like? That Jesus is one with the Comforter. And the Comforter is the Holy Spirit. And he says, when we see Jesus, in the face of Jesus, we see the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And that is the gospel. And where is that gospel truth? It is a treasure that the Lord has given you. Do you have that treasure? Can you see that this morning? Then you have a treasure, and it's in an earthen vessel. What is that earthen vessel? This old body. You got a treasure in you. You still got an old earthen vessel. That's what you have so much trouble with. But there's a treasure in your earthen vessel. And that explains all these other things I wanted to talk about, which I'm going to talk about in about, give me 5 minutes. Whew, might as well say 10. You know, about 5 minutes. Okay. I'll try to keep my word. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Get this. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Listen, we'll never get to the place we'll be able to brag on us. Aren't you glad? Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name be glory. Psalm 115 says it over and over again. We have been given this ability and these blessings in a way that we cannot brag on one another. And if we ever do, we've lost it. And then he says this, get this, if you're there, I'm there. We are troubled on every side. Y'all believe that? We're troubled on every side. Listen, church, we're troubled on every side. You say, well, I got so much trouble. Well, that's what Paul said you're going to have. You're troubled on every side. Trouble over here, trouble over there, trouble behind me, trouble in front of me, just trouble all around me. Hello, that's life. You're alive if you have that. You're still in this world. You know when you won't have any more trouble? When you're not here. Brother Cato used to tell me, he said, Brother Gary, you just want heaven down here. You ain't going to get it. You got to wait till you go home to get away from all that trouble. Just wanted the trouble to be done. You ever get up and just want all the trouble to be gone? Don't want this trouble? Seems like I get through one trouble, I got another trouble coming. Sometimes it's worse. Sometimes I make it worse. If I don't have a big trouble, give me a little time. I'll make it big. And I'll tell you what, actually, every trouble we've ever had in the sight of the Lord has always been a little trouble. We're the ones who make it big. And every one of them is too big for us. And none of them is anything for Him. 5 minutes going. All right. Trouble on every side, but get this, yet not distressed. Now, what does that mean? I got trouble, but I'm not distressed. What does that mean? That means I'm not in total despair. I am not just... Listen, I got trouble, but I got a friend in Jesus who is bigger than all my trouble. See the difference? When I can't see Him, though, I'm all by myself and the trouble overwhelms me. But when I see Him and trust in Him, it doesn't matter what the trouble is. I got a friend bigger than all the trouble, whatever it might be. I'm not in despair. I'm not distressed. In desperate danger or need. Listen, I'm really not in need because He has met all my needs. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So whatever the trouble is, if it's a money problem, He's got all the cattle on 1,000 hills. And if I need it, He'll give it to me if I need it. That doesn't mean I'm going to sit back and say, okay, Lord, give it to me. Because He has called us to do what we're supposed to do. And as we trust in Him and do what He tells us to do, He has supplied all our needs. How did He do it? In a little bit or according to the riches of His grace? What does the Word say? According to the riches of His grace. All right. We are perplexed. Perplexed. That means you're filled with uncertainty. I don't know what's coming. You perplexed? I don't know how we're going to make it. What does that mean, though? I'm perplexed, but not in despair. That means I got hope and confidence. In whom? In me? No, in the Lord. Listen, I'm perplexed. I don't know what's coming, but I got hope. I got hope that He's going to be with me, and I got confidence that He promised me He'd never leave me nor forsake me, and He won't. No matter what. So, is it okay to be perplexed? Paul was. He said, we all are. That means I'm not certain about things. Sometimes we say, well, I absolutely know God. Listen, I don't know the mind of God. I don't know what God... I'm worried about an operation that may never come because the Lord may return before December the 26th and we go out of here. I'll fly. Y'all believe that? Shouldn't we live like we believe it then? And so what is that to Him? All right. Persecuted, yes. God's little children are going to be persecuted, but not forsaken. Listen, you'll never be alone. And He says, cast down. You've been cast down? Yes, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. That means we'll have fellowship in His death and in His sufferings. If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll have fellowship with Him in many ways, but one of those ways are in His sufferings and in His death. You'll never have it to the extent that He has it, but just as sure as He suffered, you will do so. But be a good cheer. If you suffer with Him, you'll be glorified with Him. That means he is always going to supply that which makes us more than conquerors through him that loved us. I love to look at Romans 8. I'll ask you to do that when you have a chance. Look at the end of Romans 8 and read about how we all the time go through all kinds of trouble. We're led as sheep to the slaughter for his sake. And yet, at the end of that, he says, we're more than conquerors through him. How? Through us? No, through him that loved us. Brag on Jesus. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. Maybe 8-7 minutes. I
don't know. God bless you.